Have you seen these weird Stanley Cup ads that they put out saying, like, there's nothing like playoff hockey and it's like a landmark in the shape of the Stanley Cup?
No, that sounds dumb.
Like, this one's okay because it's Chicago, but the other one is San Francisco and the Golden Gate Bridge. Why do they give a care about Stanley Cup playoffs?
Give a care?
Yeah, why do they give a care?
That's not the phrase.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, and I think we finally realized this week why a Washington Capitals podcast is called What the Puck. Hello, everyone. I'm Brandon. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Joining me, as always, he's breathing into a brown paper bag. He's hyperventilating because this has just been some crazy hockey. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
I was honestly about to do a bit where I'd be like, oh, God, it's so, but no. I'm doing all right. This has been a weird series so far.
Yes, to say that I am shocked that it's going this way, kind of would be an understatement. I wasn't writing off Toronto in the least. I knew this was going to be a hard-fought series. However, I did not see it going down this way. I did not think when we spoke it would be a tied series at 2-2. I figured the Caps would be at least close to closing out this series. But what have your thoughts been so far with this series? This has been an up and down weird series, but at the same time, this very much feels like Caps playoff hockey.
Yeah, it's definitely been a very strange series to watch. I thought the Capitals came out and have played okay. I mean, they've had definite moments of domination. I mean, they were dominating parts of Game 3. They were dominating parts of Game 2, and they pretty much do that for every game. But they just let up, and Toronto continuously is fighting back. Now, I feel like Game 4 was a little bit of a fluke in the way Toronto came back in that game.
Uh-huh.
Like, literal flukes. Like, the bounces were literally going their way. If you look at Austin Matthews' goal, which I believe was the fourth goal, the puck bounced off. I think someone said it bounced off the ref. I didn't see that part. But it bounced off of his chest, happened to fall right in front of him, with Holtby going where the puck was supposed to be going, and he had a wide-open net. So the bounces are literally, the luck is literally going their way right now. I mean, if you had that happen to the Capitals, well, I mean, they had an open net in Game 3 and Shattenkirk missed. But it feels a little bit like the luck is on Toronto's side. But you have to have a little bit of luck winning anything because of injuries and things like that. But I also feel like the Capitals are not fighting necessarily hard enough for enough time in these games. And they're sort of not going through the motions per se, but they're just not doing quite enough to win. And they should be able to dominate this team, but I also feel we kind of underestimated, a lot of people underestimated Toronto and what they're capable of doing. This is a very young team with a young defense that has been making mistakes, and the Capitals have not been making them pay. But this is a very high-energy team that is going to fight back and continue to fight back. And I think the Capitals need to up their game a little bit if they want to be able to get through this one.
All right, yeah, you covered a lot of ground there. I want to break it all down.
Yeah, go ahead. Where are you going to start?
Yeah, I want to break it all. Let's talk about the luck of the Leafs, which I just realized is a fantastic name for this episode. The luck of the Leafs. You're bringing up Austin Matthews, and it's going off the ref or going off him, and it's landing right.
It literally did it hit him in the chest. He was like, "Oh, look!"
Right? Oh, I need that. But Austin Matthews, his first goal of the postseason of the Stanley Cup playoffs ever, went off of Nate Schmidt's head and went right back to Austin Matthews' stick. Look at, I think, their first goal in Game 1 up against Braden Holtby. It literally is behind Holtby, hits one of the crossbars, hits the post, and it shoots between, like, backwards five hole of Holtby right to a Maple Leafs player, and then they're able to get a goal and get things going. This has been, you know, it's not all luck. I'm not saying that Toronto is completely tied in the series because of luck, but yeah, their luck has definitely been on their side, and they've been able to capitalize on flukes that the Caps just haven't been getting. They haven't been getting those lucky bounces.
No, and that's sort of the way things go. Anyone who's played sports before knows that sometimes you just don't get the bounces to go your way. It's just luck of the draw. And a lot of time there are 50-50 battles, but that's only part of it. There's plenty of opportunities last night where the Capitals could have scored and didn't do so. And there's been, you know, opportunities where Toronto should have scored. But on paper, this is a better team, the Washington Capitals, than the Toronto Maple Leafs. But they're not playing necessarily like it. Toronto is playing better than they probably are. And that's not necessarily a shot at them. This is going to be a very good team in a year or two. Like, this Toronto team, if they can keep them together, and it's hard to do that in the salary cap world, to keep a team together as long as they may think they can or would like to, but this is a team that's going to be very good. But they're not there just yet. Like, this Toronto team reminds me to some extent of the Capitals when they went up against the Flyers back in 2000, their first year, Ovechkin's first year in the playoffs. Where this is a team that was up and coming, not quite there yet, gave the Flyers a run for their money, were playing very well. Unfortunately, weren't able to come out of that one with a win in that series. But I do think the Capitals are still the better team, but they have to start playing like it. They have to start fighting for every loose puck. They have to start collapsing around Holtby a little bit. If you went back and you watched, or if you go back and you watch, I should say, I think it was game two, I felt like in that overtime, game three, when they had a double. Which one was double overtime? Game two?
That was game two.
Yeah, game two.
Yes.
So I felt like every time that the Caps had the puck, Toronto was collapsing around Frederik Andersen.
Mm-hmm.
But then when Toronto would cut out on the puck, the Caps didn't really do that. Like, they were kind of just like, Holtby will bail us out, and then we'll be able to go down the other end of the rink. And that shouldn't necessarily be the case. You have to help out your goalie sometimes as well. And they weren't, you know, Holby's been playing well, but they've got to help him out. They got to do their part. The defense has not been playing quite as well, and there have been weird things from the coaching staff in terms of who they're playing and for how long. And we can talk about that with Ovechkin's minutes in a little bit.
Yes. All right. So, yeah, let's continue going. Let's talk a little bit about the defense before we get into Ovechkin's time because, I mean, Trotz doesn't give him a lot of time. Why should we? But let's talk about the defense here. Carl Alsner, the Iron Man, he's sat the last two games, and we've had Nate Schmidt come in. I definitely want to spend a lot of time talking about Nate Schmidt here. Nate Schmidt has come in, made an immediate impact on this team. If Carl Alsner, if this is just a day-to-day thing, and it's something that is not particularly that serious, how do you sit Nate Schmidt? I don't think you can.
I don't know. I honestly don't know how you sit him, because he's been playing very well. I think they do end up sitting him in the end, because I don't think he wants to sit anyone else. And who would you sit? I know who I would pick, but who would you sit right now?
Against this team, I would say you sit Brooks Orpik, because these kids have been skating circles around this guy. And yes, Brooks Orpik has been a big body and he's been laid into these kids, but they've been skating complete and absolute circles around him.
See, I would have done the same thing. I feel like I would also probably sit Orpik, and it's not necessarily against him, but like you said, he's not quite as fast. He's done well. He's a solid veteran presence on the ice, and he's a physical guy.
Yes.
But I feel like Schmidt is a better fit to go up against Toronto with the speed. And we saw that last night where, I don't remember, unfortunately, who the guy was in Toronto, but he and Schmidt were racing for the puck. If you had a slower defenseman, that dude's getting a breakaway on goal, or at least a better opportunity. But Schmidt was able to keep up with him, and he didn't get quite as good an opportunity to take a shot. So I agree that if when Alsner's healthy after not missing a game in 7 years, that, remember, what was it like? He hasn't played – he played in every game since like 2010.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. So for him to be out is kind of nuts. But then the Caps have actually been doing pretty good decently with him out. But with Schmidt, I feel like you have to keep him in. And I agree with you. My suggestion is Orpik comes out.
And I hate to say that because Orpik is a veteran. You don't want to see a veteran like that sit, but he's not doing well against this young team. They are too fast for him, unfortunately.
I don't think he's doing poorly.
Yeah, I mean, it's
per se.
It's a thin.
I agree with you. It's more a speed. It's matchups right now.
Yeah, it's definitely matchups. And I let's stay with defensemen. I like the change that Barry Trotz has made. I like having Niskanen kind of paired up with Austin Matthews as much as possible. I think we're kind of getting to Austin Matthews a little bit better than we were at the very beginning. But I want to bring up Shattenkirk. This guy, he was we won the trade because we got Shattenkirk and the Penguins and the Rangers didn't. He was the big prize at the end. You know, he was the prize you got on the claw machine. You finally got it, and he was yours. But in this series, he's been kind of like a bit of a detriment to the Capitals. There was that terrible play in when Toronto got a goal where it was him and Orpik against one Toronto player behind Braden Holtby, leaving Braden Holtby completely on an island by himself, and the goal completely open. Shattenkirk should not have been there, and that's a mistake that a veteran defenseman shouldn't make. He made stupid moves by having a delay of game penalty at an important time in the, what was it, 2 games ago. I don't know if it's nerves. I don't know what's going on. He's a veteran. He's been here before with the Blues, but he's making a lot of mistakes for such a veteran defenseman.
I mean, we talked about when they acquired him, it takes time for guys to get accustomed to the system, and I'm wondering if part of the mistakes he's making can be attributed to the fact that he's just not comfortable being in the system. He doesn't know where his defensive partner is going to be, or he doesn't trust his defensive partner at the moment enough to be able to make that pass or that outlet pass, or just that, you know, dumping it around behind the net or whatever you may be thinking, knowing where that other guy is going to be. And so I'm curious as to how much is attributed to that as opposed to his just poor play. But I like more or less what we've seen from him, and I certainly think it's worth, not that we have to worry about this right now, but making a play for him in the offseason.
I mean, we'll see what happens, but he to me, he's not been very impressive. Hopefully we see something from him a little bit better, because towards the end of the regular season, it looked like he was in the groove, he was ready to go, but this he kind of fell into that cap spell, and when you hit the postseason, you forget how to play hockey. I mean, that's what the Capitals kind of look like in at least Game 3. So let's switch sides a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about Braden Holtby. Braden Holtby, he's been our goalie. He's been our go-to guy forever. He's one of the best in the league. However, he's had a rough time this series. But I don't want to say it was particularly his fault because, like we already brought up, there were lucky bounces and weird deflections from Toronto. But how much of the Capitals losing do you put on Braden Holtby's shoulders? How much you put it on Toronto being a better team? How much you put on defense? What's your thoughts on Braden Holtby?
I don't really know if I put anything really on Holtby at this point. I think after he came out and gave his best Manuel Neuer impersonation, and I know you don't know who that is, but he's a very good goaltender in Germany, in European football. I mean, that was ridiculous. I think the team is not playing very well around Holtby. I think he's done fine for the most part. I don't think he's necessarily stealing this series like you would like to get from a goaltender if your team's not playing well all around. But I definitely think that there is more. There's definitely more that the defense and the forwards could be doing to help him out than the other way around.
Now, I don't know if you read this.
If you come out as far out of his crease and you make a stop like that and don't take a penalty, you've done your job.
Now, I don't know if you read this or not, but Isabel Krishutian, she put out a tweet. I don't know if it was her article or another article, but there was some sort of rumor and innuendo that that Holtby was – there was potential of him getting benched to start the third period of the last game and have Grubauer come in, but they ultimately decided against it since the Caps were going to be on a 5-on-3 and it was unfair to have Grubauer come out in the middle of that. Have you read that article? Do you know anything about that?
I haven't seen that at all.
What do you think we're going to see Grubauer at all in this series?
No.
You think it's going to stay? They're going to stay Holtby.
I don't see any reason to put him in right now. There's no need to put him in. Holtby is one of the best goaltenders in the league. He's shown you that over the past couple of seasons. I see no reason to put Grubauer out there and bench a guy who should be a Vezina finalist.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll we'll see what happens. Hopefully we see Holtby as much as possible. I don't like the fact that the defense really isn't supporting him as much as they could. I don't like a lot of these crazy bounces that he just can't, he can't win a battle over. But let's talk about in the last game that goalie interference with Nick Backstrom and what's his name? Anderson, the goalie for Toronto. What did you see? Did you see goalie interference?
No,
I did not either.
So, like, I saw Backstrom was like there, and it was
with his hands in the air.
Well, waving him around. No, not gonna go with that joke. Anyways, so it's not goaltender interference because Backstrom's trying to get out of the way. The Toronto defenseman is pushing him back into the goalie. And Anderson is not exactly trying to get him out of there. Like,
just hold on to him.
Yeah, he's hanging on to him. And so, no, that was a completely BS call. And then they had another one later in the game that they kind of got correctly. Like, that was not goaltender interference. He kind of kicked Holtby, but not really.
It was kind of Brooks Orpik who picked up the stick of the Toronto Maple Leaf and put it into Holtby. But I think that that should have been – I think it was Ovi or maybe it was Nate Schmidt – whose goal was waved off, and that probably would have put the nail in the coffin for that game.
Oshie, yeah.
Was it Oshie?
I think it was Oshie's.
Yeah, Oshie got the very last one that actually did count. But what do you think of this officiating for this series? Because I kind of think it's been somewhat lopsided towards Toronto, and I know it's a whole conspiracy theory with Caps fans that the refs are never on our side, but I don't know. I kind of feel it right now.
I don't like conspiracy theories, but I certainly can see why people would feel that way. It definitely feels like a lot of the calls are going against the Caps. But the thing is, they've also had their opportunities to get power plays. I mean, they did have a 5-on-3 that they did nothing with.
Yeah, that was killer.
So it's not like they haven't had their chances, but it definitely feels like a lot of the close calls are going against them right now.
Yeah, and that was such a softy in the last game with Lars Eller putting his hands over the puck and getting penalized for it.
Or in game three that, what's his name, Komarov is able to cross-check Wilson multiple times while – not Wilson, Williams – multiple times while he's on the ice. No call in front of the goddamn referee, but then later on there's barely a high sticking, which I'm not even sure he made contact with the dude's face. And they're like, oh, penalty. With 3 seconds to go in the third. You don't make that call in the playoffs.
No.
You don't. That's just a reality. If you're not going to make the call where he's cross-checking a dude who doesn't even have the freaking puck. Like, it's not even involved in the play. He's just basically assaulting him now in front of the damn referee. There's no call. Yet later on, you're going to be like, oh, well, he grazed his cheek. He touched some hair on his face with a stick. That's 2 minutes in the box. With 3 seconds to go in the third period. That's BS.
Yeah, not a fan. Not a fan of that. And
call everything or don't call anything, but make up your damn mind.
The officiating has just not been very good this series. Not really going in the favor of the Capitals. And, of course, those conspiracy theories will light up when something like that happens. So let's move on. Let's talk about the offense. Of course, we're still going to wait on Ovechkin. We got to bring up a guy who Toronto said wasn't the main concern. Tom Wilson is playing the series of his life. He is playing some of the best hockey we have seen at all from Tom Wilson. He has as many goals as the Chicago Blackhawks. Can you believe the play that we're seeing from Tom Wilson this series?
Yeah, who lit a fire under his butt?
I mean, he's a Toronto boy, so maybe it's kind of like, you know,
that could be it.
Hometown pride or something.
The goal in game one, the overtime one, was ridiculous. And he's been playing exceptionally well. And this is the Tom Wilson we have been wanting to see in the regular season. And maybe this is his awakening. This is his what the hell do you call it?
The Force.
He's coming out. No, dork.
The Force Awakens.
No, shut up.
he's a rogue one.
He's coming out. Shut up. His coming out party where it's like, oh, here's Tom Wilson. Here's that guy we wanted to see. And hopefully he continues to do that and helps them win this series and so on and so forth, and then we see more of that next season.
Yeah, I would love to see more of that. This is the Tom Wilson
then
we've been waiting
you
for.
Maybe we will have top-line Tom.
Yeah, we might have top-line Tom Wilson. Who knows? He's been moved up to the third line in this past game.
Oh! Taylor?
I think that was one of Trotz's better moves. Trotz is definitely be getting outcoached this series.
Yes, he has.
But the moves that he has made, Tom Wilson to the third line, Connolly down to the fourth line, the changes he's made on defense, it's definitely improved this team in the last game.
Yeah, it's been interesting in terms of what we saw in game three and how little minutes someone like Ovechkin got. And then later on, they were able to go out and actually the last game he got, you know, obviously considerably more. So I don't know. Trotz is definitely he's going against Mike Babcock. Like, that dude knows how to coach.
All right, so I got to ask you, and this is probably going to tick off a couple fans out there, but where in the world is Yevgeny Kuznetsov?
What are you talking about?
Where's he at?
He's been playing fine. Where's Andrei Burakovsky? That's a better question.
That's also a good question. I want to know where Yevgeny's been. He's been non-existent.
Dude, he's been playing fine.
He's been like a non-entity this series.
He's going around. Well, you're going to say this year.
Yeah, it was. But that's not true. He's been great
he's
in the regular season.
He's existed in 2017.
I've not been happy with Yevgeny completely in this Toronto series. He's got
needs some help from his line mate. Sorry, my mouse battery died, so I'm trying to fix it. I'm trying to follow things on Twitter as they're going, as Columbus is ruining all of our hopes and being able to beat Pittsburgh. They're down 3-0.
Oh, that sounds about right.
Yeah, just freaking couldn't take one for the team and beat up the Penguins. But yeah, I feel like Kuznetsov's been fine. Where the hell is Andrei Burakovsky? Besides when he's on the ice turning over the puck. Like, where has that dude been?
This has not been good for Burakovsky. This has not been good for Yevgeny Kuznetsov. Lars Eller has looked sloppy. The offense as a whole has not been great. But these guys that were brought in and they said, oh, you got to strengthen up the bottom six, they've disappeared. They have not strengthened up the bottom six or even, you know, the second line. I'm not happy with Yevgeny Kuznetsov at all. I'm not happy with Marcus Johansson running into Braden Holtby in practice either. But,
yeah, it's bad.
You know, this the offense just seems to forget how to score goals. They also forget how to pass to each other, and they forget how to skate, because if you're watching any of these games, most of these guys are on their butts more than they are skating, because I don't know, because ice is slippery and they don't know how to skate on it anymore. I don't know.
Well, in their defense, ice technically, Brandon, it is slippery.
That's true. Let's just rewind real quick. I meant to bring this up before. Do you think the choppy ice from games 1 and 2 were because of the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing a concert the night before?
Maybe game 1. I don't know about game 2.
Because that was some choppy ice. But
yeah, game 1 was not great.
All right, so let's talk about Ovechkin. The star, the face of the franchise. Guys, he's never going to get traded. Stop bringing it up.
I think he will get traded one day, but that's when he's older.
When he's when he wants to go to the KHL and play for Dynamo for a year.
No, I mean, yeah, but I meant more like, you know, he's one of those guys that at the end of his career, when he's in his like late 30s, then I could see them being like, okay, we're going to trade him so he has a chance to win a cup or something, like you always see with these veteran guys.
He'll win a cup this year. He will retire, go play in the KHL so he can play in the Olympics. That's his plan.
Well, I know there's been talk about guys doing that. Who was I talking with? I think I was talking with our buddy Ryan Drury about some of the Russians and maybe doing that after the season.
It's one of the Russians in Buffalo left for the KHL for the reason, if I'm not mistaken.
Are you sure you didn't just because he sucks?
Well, maybe. But let's talk about Ovechkin. Barry Trotz has played him, gotten better in the last game, but the game before that, game 3, he was playing him for less than 15 minutes. How do you have your star, face of your franchise, play that little amount of time? And I forget who tweeted it. The last time Ovechkin played that little was under Dale Hunter. Not even Adam Oates made that mistake.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what was going on with game 3, and clearly he didn't do it again, because his game 4 minutes were much more where they should have been for a guy of Ovechkin's caliber. To some extent, it's like you brought it up before, that Trotz is getting outcoached against Mike Babcock, but a lot of people will be getting outcoached against Mike Babcock, and so I'm not necessarily quite as concerned about that to some extent, as I think game 3 was more of just an outlier and Trotz made a mistake. I'm not entirely sure why his minutes were so low, and I doubt Trotz will necessarily come out and say why. But it was, that was definitely weird. But I mean, if we're looking at this team, these top line guys, they're producing. I mean, you've got Oshie, 6 points in four games. Backstrom, 5 points in four games. Ovechkin's got 3 goals in four games. Wilson's got 3 goals in four games. Kuznetsov's got 2 and 4. Johansson's got 2 assists. When did Burakovsky get 2 assists? I'm still not happy with him. Connolly's got nothing. He's a minus two. Beagle's got nothing. He's a minus two. Winnick's got nothing. He's a minus one.
So, yeah, Beagle's getting beat up on the faceoffs. He is just...
Yeah, that's his thing. That's his bread and butter. And if he's not doing that, then there's a problem. If he's not winning those, then something is not right. And this team is going to struggle.
All right, so now let's just look forward. Let's look into the future. We know that there's going to be a game five. We know that there's going to be a game six. What adjustments do you see this team making after the first four games to continue their winning ways and to get past this Toronto team?
And they've got to up the pressure a little bit. I mean, they've been letting them go, and they've been letting them kind of run around and use their youthfulness to some extent. That's, I don't think that's even a word. And letting them keep the pressure on the Caps throughout. And the Capitals have got to up their momentum a bit and their energy and their pressure and what they're putting back on Toronto and make sure that they're helping out Holtby.
Definitely need to do that. I think what the big thing is that the team tried to get physical with Toronto, at least in the beginning of Game 3, and they were more focused on big hits than they were about controlling the puck, getting the puck back. They were kind of playing the Toronto players instead of going after the puck. So they just need to focus more on controlling the game instead of just trying to hit these guys and get them off of their game, and just kind of focus on getting the puck to the back of the net, having crisp passing. And, you know, if, you know, they're missing checks like crazy, you know, still be physical, but don't let that be the majority of your game.
I would agree with that. I mean, they definitely have got to, and it's, honestly, this is gonna sound dumb, but they've got to play smarter. Don't let the...
If you're dumb, I mean, Toronto, you don't get to play.
If you're... Yeah, don't be dumb. That's a great... Yes. How did I not think of that already? If you're dumb, you don't get to play. It's basically it. If Toronto's going to try and goad you into taking a dumb penalty, especially if they've already taken one, they're going to try and get you to take one so they're not having the disadvantage, and they have to be smart. And I think in the first two games, and because even the third game, they were letting their emotions get the better of them, and they've got to be able to keep that internalized. And be like, all right, you're going to give us this power play? Fine. We'll take advantage of it and score on it and be able to make them pay for their mistakes. And they aren't doing that enough.
Yes. Yeah, I completely agree with you right there. I think they need to do that. This is definitely a winnable series. I will say that. The Capitals, 2 weeks ago, the Toronto Maple Leafs weren't in the playoffs. On paper, the Capitals should be just wiping the floor with them. But this is a great Toronto team. I worry for the next couple of years about what this team is going to be able to do, because they are solid, they're young, and they got a lot of great players on there. But this series right now, the Capitals, they can win this series. They absolutely can. Yeah, they need a little bit of luck, but they've got plenty of talent, and they can get it done.
Yeah, I think that on paper, it is in their favor. But they're going to have to actually play hard, not, you know, to be able to get the win. And so, like I've said, they're going to have to play harder. They got to play smarter, because if you're dumb, you don't get to play. And they're going to have to make sure that they keep their emotions in check, because Toronto is going to keep running around hitting everybody. And there's nothing they can really do about this, but some of the luck is going to have to start swinging their way.
And if you bench Nate Schmidt, it's the wrong call for this series. All right. So, anything else we should cover in Caps World?
No. I don't know, Brandon. If they lose this, here's what I want to ask you. And I'm not saying they're going to, but I felt like if they lost last night, we would definitely be having this conversation.
Oh boy.
Does Barry Trotz lose his job?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he would.
And do you think he would, or do you think he should? We ask the tough ones here on What the Puck.
He should and he would. Yes, because let's just go down the list. Braden Holtby, Alex Ovechkin, Nick Backstrom, TJ Oshie. Right there, any other team around the league would win a cup with that tandem right there. Yevgeny Kuznetsov, face-off King Jay Beagle, Matt Niskanen, John Carlson. This team is full of superstars. Look at how many Olympians are on this team. Look how many people have been to the All-Star game in their career. This is a Stanley Cup team. And if you can't beat a bunch of teenagers with that team, then something's wrong. If you can't make adjustments on the fly, something is wrong. We have seen this before in Washington with a guy in Minnesota coaching right now. And this is the same problems we've had, just a different guy. Neither of them have hair. And
oh, that's what it is. They need a coach with hair.
Yeah. And I think not just Barry Trotz, though. I think if it didn't work out this year, you keep Ovechkin, you keep Backstrom, you keep Holtby, but the rest of the guys, you kind of move out because it might be time for one of those fire sales because something ain't working.
No.
Something ain't working.
You may have to retool a little bit with your around your core, but you're not going to have a fire sale.
I don't know. But I don't want to see any of this happen.
It'd be great to not have this happen.
But if GM McClellan said, look, we have a 2-year window and you're out in the first round after that 2-year window, something's wrong with your coaching staff, something's wrong with the talent you got on the ice, and you got to make changes.
I agree. I definitely agree.
And I hate that because Barry Trotz is an awesome dude and a great coach, but maybe he's got the same problem that Bruce had where he doesn't know how to coach the postseason.
Yeah, I have a hard time disagreeing with what you just said.
But saying that, coach the hell out of that team the next two games, Trotz. Let's get this done.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that Trotz is a fantastic coach. I think this is a tough series. I think Toronto is better than they expected. But this is the reality of sports in that it is a what have you done for me lately and a show me what you've got right now. Profession, and you can't be like, well, he's done a great job in the regular season, but it's not only about the regular season, it's about the playoffs. And if you don't get to the playoffs, then you're definitely getting fired, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit because someone else is now unemployed. But it's also about getting through the playoffs, and eventually, if you cannot get as far as the team wants to go, you're out.
Well, that's a sad note to end on.
Now, that team is not there yet.
No.
It's 2-2. They've got two more games at home. They've just got to play smarter.
The Caps were down before against the Islanders in the series. Last time Toronto was in the Stanley Cup playoffs, they forced the Bruins to go to a game 7 in the opening round, and then the Bruins went to the Stanley Cup finals. Yes, they lost to the Blackhawks, but still.
No, there's no.
I'm just saying, crazy things have happened in the first round, but they even out, and yes, there is a reason to be concerned, but after after the Caps dropped game 3, I wasn't concerned. I was angry because I know this team is better than that.
Well, they are definitely better than the way they've been playing. And I mean, game 3 just pissed me off because that BS penalty call. But aside from that, they're definitely better than they have been playing. And that is not necessarily a shot at Toronto. I mean, Toronto is going to be a very good team, and they are a good team right now, but they're not the better team.
No, they're not. Absolutely not. The Caps are the better team. The Caps can and should win this, whether it be in 2 games or 3 games. We still don't know, but the Caps can and should get it done.
I agree.
All right. That's a better note to end on. So
yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we are going to go down on the farm, talk Bears and Stingrays, because guess what? They're still playing as well. So now let's hear a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are going down on the farm, and we are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 2-0 and clinched a spot in the Calder Cup playoff.
Yeah.
Brandon, that means that all of the teams in the Capitals organization are playing in their respective playoffs.
Yeah,
that is an impressive thing.
That's awesome.
Hershey ended their season with a record of 43-22-11, good for 97 points, which puts them third in the Atlantic Division. Now, the Bears start their march for the Calder Cup on Friday as they will be taking on Lehigh Valley of all teams. What a shocker. Like, every week we're talking about them playing Lehigh Valley, and now that would definitely be the
case. I don't think they've played them at all. They have no way of knowing how they play.
No, nah, would never happen. They play Friday and Saturday with away games, then come back home to the Giant Center for Game 3 on Wednesday. And don't forget, the first round in the AHL is best of 5. Which is weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
I don't know why they do it, because the ECHL does 7, and the NHL does 7. So I don't know what the AHL is doing. Unless it's because they end the season later, which I still don't understand that part. Like, someone explain that to me. But anyways, let's head down to South Carolina, where they started their first round against Greenville last week. Their series is currently tied at 2 games each after a 6-1 whooping of the Swamp Rabbits. Crushed them, and they have a stupid name. Game 5 is Friday in Greenville, with Game 6 at the North Charleston Coliseum on Monday, and a potentially deciding Game 7 in Greenville on Tuesday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right. Go Bears, go Stingrays, do what you gotta do, win those championships. What do we want? That was it, the Kelly Cup, right, in the ECHL?
Kelly Cup in the ECHL, the Calder Cup.
Calder Cup.
AHL. Bring them, not home, because it's not where you and I live, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know.
Bring them to the organization.
Yeah, that's right. All right, that's it for Down on the Farm. Now let's go around the NHL. Everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL, the Stanley Cup playoffs. They are taking over. They are consuming your lives, aren't they not? There's hockey on at all times of the night, every single night going on. There's something to watch. There's a game to watch. And there have been some really great games. Some teams already out of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And there's some coaches that will be cleaning out some offices today. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, I can tell you, I am not one of those coaches that's cleaning out his office.
Good
though,
for
my
you.
Office at home definitely does need.
If the Caps lose this year, though, maybe you will.
What? Oh, you're saying I'm going to go and be their coach?
Yes.
That's not going to happen. I am a coach, but of a different sport. But before we go to the playoffs, let's start in Buffalo, where general manager Tim Murray and head coach Dan Bylsma were fired by the Sabres. Now, if you ask me, I feel like Bylsma wasn't really given enough time. I mean, he's only there for 2 years.
I definitely feel
like he should have been given more time to turn that team around, because they were struggling. And it's only 2 years into the Eichel
Eichel era.
Now, they do have to get rid of Evander Kane, because that guy's insane. But besides that, I do think they needed more time. However, there was a report out of Buffalo on a radio station that Eichel would not sign a long-term deal if Bylsma remained their head coach.
Ooh, really?
Now, Eichel has since come out and denied that report, but I'm wondering if maybe there's some there. What is that? There's smoke, there's fire?
We've seen that with Ovi and towards the end of Bruce's tenure, and Ovi and Dale Hunter. You know, if your star player doesn't get along with the coach, things have got to change.
I mean, the Sabres owner, Terry Pegula, whatever his name is, he came out and said, after reviewing the past season and looking at the future of our organization, Kim, I believe is his wife, and I, who also owns the team, have decided to relieve general manager Tim Murray and head coach Dan Bylsma of their duties. We want to thank Tim and Dan for their hard work and efforts that they've put in during their tenures with the club. We wish them luck. We have begun the process to fill these positions immediately. I'm not sure what took them so long when everyone else was getting fired last week.
Yeah, this just seems a little late.
It is a little bit. And I'm very curious as to who they're going to find to be the new GM and where they're going. You know, they have less time than everybody else.
I bet you the Vegas Golden Knights feel like idiots naming their head coach now that Bosma is available.
They got Vegas hired, was it Gerard Gallant?
I think so.
And if I don't remember correctly, Dallas has hired Ken Hitchcock.
Oh, okay.
Who I believe was supposed to be retiring, so I'm a little confused. All right, let's move over to NHL award news, where the Selke Trophy finalists were announced. Patrice Bergeron of Boston, Ryan Kessler of Anaheim, and Miku Koivu of Minnesota were announced as the finalists for that award, which is given to the top defensive forward. Still no love for Nick Backstrom.
The guy's had like a record-breaking season, too.
And still no love for him, even though he is one of the best in the league. And especially his defensive forward, I don't understand it. Patrick Laine of Winnipeg, Austin Matthews of Toronto, and Zach Werenski and his potentially almost missing eye of Columbus. I made that last part up, but he did get jacked up. Did you see that picture?
I did.
Man, that dude got jacked up, and he still wanted to come out and play.
That's a
hockey player.
I love the fan who the next game wore a shirt with the guy's face on it.
He got a signed jersey because of it. That was pretty cool.
That's cool.
But yeah, Werenski of Columbus, they were announced as the finalists for the Calder Trophy, awarded to the top NHL rookie. Who do you think that one's going to go to?
Of the NHL rookie of the year?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, it's going to be Matthews.
It has to be Matthews.
It's going to be Matthews.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was quick. All right, let's head over. Now that we're done with the news for the past week in the NHL, let's go over to the playoffs. A little update there. We'll start in the West because that's more fun. Anaheim not only beat Calgary, but swept them.
Killed my bracket. I had Calgary going to the Western Conference Finals.
Oops. There, I think I had them winning too. So Calgary, I apologize. Edmonton and San Jose are tied at 2 games apiece. St. Louis is up 3-1 on Minnesota. And Nashville is whooping Chicago. They're up 3-0. What the hell is going on in Music City? Music Town? Music something? Isn't that their name? Brandon, help me out.
Nashville is it's a music capital of the world. Is that
something like that? Yeah. That's probably not true, but yeah, you know, whatever. Names are just names. Let's head over to the East, where Montreal and the Rangers are tied at 2 games each. That one's a little bit more of a fight than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Ottawa is up 3-1 on Boston.
Didn't see that coming.
Boston, a little bit of trouble. And Pittsburgh is up 3-1 on Columbus. They were up 3-0 in the game, and it's actually 3-2 last I saw. So hopefully Columbus can come back in that one. Though when you're listening to this, that game is over, as potentially some other ones. So
you know more than us.
Yeah, you know more than us at this moment. But then again, you're in the future. So
can you give me the lottery numbers, please?
Yeah, a little heads up would be great. We would greatly appreciate it. Don't be rude.
I am shocked about the Chicago-Nashville series. I have Chicago going to the Stanley Cup Finals in my bracket.
Oops. I think I had them too.
But they have, it took them 3 games to score a goal.
Just one goal.
And
one of them. They just need one goal.
I said in the last show, I see Nashville being a cup contender in 2 to 3 years. Maybe I'm a little late because these guys look fantastic. And who's leading the charge in Smashville?
Oh, God, I don't want to know.
Philip Forsberg.
Of course he is. Now, there was the point that was brought up a couple of months ago. Although I have to imagine you have to say Pekka Rinne is probably the one that's leading that team.
Yeah, sure.
But that if they hadn't kept Forsberg, where would this team have gone? Would they have gone out and fired McPhee and Oates? Would they have gone out and acquired Niskanen and Orpik and been able to bring in TJ Oshie? So, was it the worst thing to happen to the team? Maybe.
Have you seen the way they've been playing the last week? It could have been. Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right, so is that the show? Did we cover everything?
That's pretty much it, man. We got coaches getting hired. Gallant's got a new job. That's not surprising. Hitchcock's got a new job. That is surprising. I thought he was retiring. Because he was – after, I believe, if he'd finished his year in St. Louis, he was out. He was like, I'm good. Someone else can take over. I don't want to. I think Bielsma will get a new job. I don't know where. I think someone hires him. And I'll say this too. I don't think he's the last coach to get fired.
Oh, okay. I hear you.
I think someone else is getting canned, and it's going to be from a playoff team.
All right, maybe Calgary.
And it won't be. No, I don't think it'll be Calgary.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. Tell us what you think. Who do you think is going to get fired? How far do you think the Caps are going to go? You let us know. You tweet to me at Brando Cash Coach Dan. Where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. I'm on there talking about the Capitals and Arsenal and DC United and all sorts of other teams, the Redskins, and how they've got a home game on Thanksgiving and how everyone's excited. And I don't really care that they have a home game on Thanksgiving. Like, that doesn't matter to me. Your Ravens are going nuts about that right now for some reason.
What, they're going nuts? The Redskins get a game?
No. They're going crazy that you guys have a home game on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it's been like 5 years since they've had one.
But why do you care?
I hate Monday Night games, so I don't.
But yeah, if you want to find me on Twitter, you can find me at WTP Coach Dan. Brandon! Why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
I will do that, but if you do tweet to me, just realize that I will probably respond with a GIF. Just my thing.
You do that a lot.
Yes. I usually pick a theme for each Caps game and stick with that for GIFs. So, like, last game was Ari Gold. Game before that was Conor McGregor. I don't know what I'm going to do for the next one. We'll see. Anyway, go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment and What the Puck. Go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Like us over there. Whenever new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Follow us on Twitter at What the Puck Pod. You can like us over there. Follow us. We're posting up stats and pictures and videos and any other kind of stuff we find interesting we try to share with you guys. Started to put out some celebration songs whenever the Caps win for the Stanley Cup playoffs, so I'll keep that going as long as the Caps continue to win. All right, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you please spread the word about the show. Write us an iTunes review. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck. I'm not dreading these games at all. Yeah, I've got heart palpitations, but still, I love this team, and I'm going to continue to root for them. Say that in a tweet and all that. Mention us, and we will be ever...
That's a lot. You can't have that many characters, man.
It's true. We will be grateful for that. All right, so let's talk about... There are potentially 3 games left until we talk again. And what days are they? On Friday, the 21st of April, Game 5 up against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That is going to be on NBC Sports, Comcast Sportsnet locally here in Maryland and D.C. That game starts at 7 o'clock. Then on Sunday, April 23rd, potentially the ending game of the series. We don't know. We don't know. Well, no, it's true. Because one team has to win.
I know, but we don't know, you know.
We don't know which way it could go, but it could be the last game of the series for a team. We don't know. Oops, I just took the power out of my laptop, but it's okay. That game is undecided right now of what time it will be.
To be determined.
I'm pretty sure there isn't Friday night for Game 5. Isn't there supposed to be like a Chris Brown show at Verizon Center?
I don't know.
I thought there was like a Chris Brown concert at the same time as this game, but...
Screw that guy.
And then, if needed, Game 7 is on Tuesday, the 25th, against Toronto. It'll be on Comcast Sportsnet locally here, but we don't know what time. I would assume 7 for those games, but who knows?
Not I.
All right. So
I hope the Sunday night game isn't, because I have an indoor soccer game that day.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't watch the beginning of the last game, and I was like, wow, they're up 4-1 in the first, and then I watch, and then Toronto comes back, so I'm kind of thinking I shouldn't watch the rest of this series.
I agree with you.
Which makes me sad, because I like watching this team.
Well, you know what? You gotta not be selfish.
All right. That's it for the show this week. We will be back next week after game 6 or 7. And we'll be talking about something.
We'll see.
We don't know what. All right. Say it loud. Say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.